Federal executives are facing many managing challenges, and the battle over deficit cutting rages on. And the Oversight and Government Reform Committee has promised vigorous oversight of executive branch agencies and programs. So we're going to learn what it all means for career executives. As former Representative Tom Davis, now the Director of Federal Government Relations at Deloitte, joins Tom Temin live at the Senior Executive Association Conference to talk about how navigating today's climate affects their ability to lead. Tom.
Good morning, Amy. And we do have Tom Davis. Great to have you on with us this morning.
Tom, it's great to be here.
Now, let's talk about Congress itself for a minute. It's an institution you left just a couple of years ago. And I guess in some sense, Congress has never been fully functional in the history of the Republic. But from your point of view, does it look worse now?
I think you got to remember the opposite of pro is con. So the opposite of Congress would be, obviously, progress. So it's I do think there's something to that. It was designed that way.
Yeah, but does it look worse now than it did even a couple of years ago?
It always looks worse when you're on the outside. On the inside, there's a lot of self-importance and a lot of hard work and churning going on. It's not always a very efficient way to do things. But look, there's no question it's more polarized today than it's been in some time. You have, according to all the surveys, the most liberal Republican in Congress is more conservative than the most conservative Democrat. The parties are just ideologically sorted. Interest groups are playing big time in terms of ranking members, going after them in primaries. And the issues are very tough right now. We've been living on a credit card for, a generation, and the gig is up.
Do you sense that they're going to be serious about actually taking down spending, or are we just going to be more quibbling about limiting future increases?
Yeah, that's a good question. Over the short term, I don't know the answer to that. And I think yesterday I talked to leaders in the House and Senate and both parties, and they all gave different answers. They don't really know how it's going to come together, but they've got to do something. They have a debt ceiling approaching. They don't want to play with that. But whether they scotch tape this thing over or they do major surgery is yet to be seen. My gut is that over the short term they'll do some interim steps, but trying to push it down the road a little bit. But let me make this point. If Congress doesn't attack this and fix this over a period of time not too far away, the bond markets will take care of it for us. They will jump in there. They're going to demand a premium on U.S. debt that just starts a downward spiral. Remember, interest rates are at an all-time low right now. So our debt is masked in terms of our current budget. Most of our debt is short-term debt. When the rates flip very, very quickly, we're going to find out that we're going to have to pay more in interest payments very rapidly. That's going to crowd out a lot of other items in the budget. It's going to force some very tough decisions. So it's better to be proactive if you can. But as you know, you have members in both parties that have signed these pledges not to cut this, not to increase taxes here. Makes a deal very difficult.
All right, let's get a little bit closer to home. Let's talk about federal employees first. And, of course, coming from the district that you did come from, that was a large part of the constituency. And the freezes, the salary, the talk about federal employees being paid too much, and the talk about future reductions in long-term benefits for federal employees, is all that really productive, and does it help the whole financial situation ultimately?
Well, I think it's politically productive. That's why people from outside the Washington area beat up on federal employees. That's where they thump their chest. We're going to have fewer employees. We're going to have this and that. But in reality, if you want to do more with less, you need a pretty good workforce. You need to train them. You need to take the shackles off them. Let them manage. Let them innovate. Right now, the incentives in government are not to do that, not to take a chance, not to reorganize. But ultimately, your employee base is the key to making this thing work, and that means you need to reward them, you need to train them, you need to recruit them properly, things that we're not currently doing. And I think people who've been in management understand that, but politically, it's very difficult for Congress to step out of that.
So what will you tell the senior executives here this morning when you talk to them in just a few minutes?
Well, I'm going to tell them, don't wait for the political class to act. Take it on yourself. Start to innovate now. Start to look how you can do more with less. I'm going to show them the 302B allocations in terms of where their appropriation is likely to come down this year. If you want to accomplish the missions you're assigned to with less money, you're going to have to innovate. Look, the private sector does this every day. The difference is in government, when you get savings, you don't keep them in your department. There's no incentive to do this. It goes to somebody who overspent their budget somewhere else. And so we don't incentivize properly. I'll give you a good example. when I got elected head of the county government back in 1991, we were in awful financial straits. People forget it, how bad Fairfax was at that point economically and fiscally. And I asked my agency heads, you know, I need cuts, and they came up with nothing. You know, just a little bit here or there. But then we came back shortly after, and I said, I'll tell you what, you know, you can keep half of what you keep, and you can spend it basically the way you want to. And also the savings came through big time, because those savings would be channeled back into their department in some way. And they get to do the things the way they wanted to do it, not the way the politicians wanted them to do it. We have a tremendously trained management class in government. That's outstanding people. But we don't let them manage. We don't let them innovate. We don't let them do the things that they ought to be doing and that they'd like to do.
We're speaking with Tom Davis, Director of Federal Government Relations at Deloitte, and, of course, former member of Congress from Northern Virginia. Let's talk about the contractor side, which was also a big part of your constituency then. There have been interim rules coming out. I think there's been 10 interim rules affecting contractors, and that's as opposed to proposed rules, which give them some chance to comment. Mm-hmm. Interim rules are immediately enforceable. There's the talk about withholding 3% of their revenue for taxes. There's all these proposals that really seem to be slamming the contractors. Are we going in the right direction there?
Yes and no. I mean, for the most part, no. For example, that 3% rule is a ridiculous rule. Even the administration's abandoned it and put it off another year. They don't even know how they'd write regulations for this. This didn't come from the administration, in fairness.
Right.
This came from Congress.
And the defense authorization a couple of years ago.
And it was put in to go after tax cheats, where they've done other things in the interim to bring that under control. And that's going to be deferred, if not permanently, on a year-to-year basis, because it's not implementable. It doesn't make any sense. There's another really dumb rule the administration proposed. I think they backed off it, and that is that before you can get a government contract, you have to show what political contributions
you've
given. I mean, how stupid is that? Is that Chicago? That's a play to pay.
Well, that seems to put politics into procurement rather than taking it out of procurement.
Yeah, of course. And I don't think that came, in fairness, I don't think that came from OMB and Zients and his shop. They're a pretty sharp group. I think that's the political shop trying to get at another issue. Some states you can't make contributions if you're doing state contracts. So it came out of that thought set. It just doesn't work at the federal level. I think they look pretty stupid on that. On the other hand, there are a lot of large contracts that have gone under, some ERPs and the like. And I think the administration is doing some good things and instead of looking at these wide body contracts, trying to chunk this stuff, trying to get in small deliverable pieces where you get some value. And money isn't just to flush down the drain. So, I give a mixed view. You get some good people working over there. If they can keep the politics out of it, I think they can do pretty well. And, of course, driving a lot of this is the unions hate contractors. So you always have that side driving the political side of the White House, saying we need to take more of this in-house. We need to eliminate contractors. Not all wrong. I mean, the tendency many times is to contract out. Because you can order a federal contractor what to do if it's a staff augmentation job or something. Whereas federal employees, you have work rules in some cases, and you don't have the same flexibility. And if a contractor doesn't work, you can fire them. Federal employee, you can't always fire them easily. So there has been that tendency in agencies sometimes to just contract it out.